At a recent family vacation in London, my sisters were very interested in the royals. I guess because of Princess Di and Meghan Markle, they wanted to visit all the palaces and castles and estates that the Windsors occupy. And so we went around and we saw gold and jewels and fancy hangings and art and sculptures and a lot of opulence. I was reminded of the witticism that somebody said going through such a palace, and they said, well, this is what God would have done if he'd only had the money. So we have this image, I guess, that kings are about wealth and prestige and honor. Well, we're gathered today as believers in Jesus. We're gathered together today to claim that Christ is our King, but a very different kind of King. Instead of a throne, he has the cross. Instead of a crown of jewels, he has thorns. Instead of rich robes, he is stripped bare. Our King is someone who is filled with trouble and trial and difficulty and pain and suffering like us. Our King is someone who does not have that blue blood of the elite, but is someone who bleeds red, just like us. Christ is our King. And yet we have this paradox that on the one hand, the Bible teaches us, St. Paul says today, you know, he's the first of all creation. In him everything was made, visible and invisible. He's the head, we're told. And that's kind of regal language, royal talk. But on the other hand, we find that when Jesus is challenged, if you are a king, save yourself, he cannot do it. Jesus cannot save himself. Like kings do. Kings use their power and might and prestige to take care of themselves, but this Jesus does not. This King instead relies on God, and what we find out is that he cannot save himself, but he can join with another to be saved. This day, he tells the thief, "You will be with me in paradise." So how do we make sense of such a King? If we want to honor Christ as our true King, then it is ourselves that we must bring. Isn't that what the Israelites had to do with King David in our Old Testament lesson? They said to him, "Here we are. Your bone and your flesh. We're like you." And that's what we have to say as well. "Here we are, Jesus, your bone and your flesh. Our bones are creaky at times. Our flesh doesn't always cooperate. But here we are, and we're going to trust, since we are like you, that your plan, your desire, your will is for the best. We're going to give up insisting on our way, but instead trust in your way. We're going to hand our bone and our flesh over to the will of God, because we know that what you want for us is life, life to the full." If we are to honor Christ our King. It is to his cross that we must cling. That good thief trusted that love and mercy could overcome all the trouble and difficulty that was part of his life. When he saw that sign, this is the King of the Jews, he believed it, despite appearances to the contrary. Because he understood that it is not always what we see that makes the difference, but it is instead that love and mercy that we don't always see that can change our hearts and change our worlds. And so it is on the cross then that we learn to surrender and learn that God can make a way out of no way. If we are to honor Christ as our true King, away from us all darkness fling. We can get depressed when things aren't going well. We can get anxious when we worry about what's happening with the children. We can be distressed that no matter how hard we tried, we don't seem to be getting any better. But St. Paul says that we are the children of light. Doesn't say we're going to be once we get our act together. Doesn't say that we will become once we have learned. He says we are. And that present tense is what we have to learn in accepting Christ as our King. That present tense reality that despite our depressions, our anxieties, our concerns, that in God all will be well. All manner of things will be well. If we are to honor Christ as our true King, it is with this community that we sing. There might be a community someplace which is full of people who are perfect, but we've got us. We've got people that we have hurt. We have people that have hurt us. We got people that drive us a little nuts. We have people that are bossy. We have people who are slug-a-beds. We have people who are remarkably like us. But Christ, our King, we're told, reconciles all things in himself, even the likes of us. And so we honor Christ, our King, by realizing that it is with this motley crew that we are going to continue on our journey towards glory. If we are to honor Christ as King, it is by celebrating God's good thing. We have to understand that faith is not just for me, not just clinging, clutching Jesus to my bosom, but instead we're told that all was created through him. All was created for him. And so we have to invite others to understand that Jesus, our elder brother, is meant for their life. That all that we're going through has a purpose and a meaning. That God is with us, since all was created through him and for him. And learning to trust in that gives us hope. If we are to honor Christ as King, then all creation must learn to ring. Ring out with joy. Isn't that what Pope Francis tells us? We have to live the joy of the gospel. No more sour Christians. We have to make sure that people understand what a great gift it is to have faith in our hearts. We must celebrate the fact that God's love and mercy is available to us. We must dance with the knowledge that in God, all manner of things will be well. That's how we honor our King, Christ our King. And to him be the glory, now and forever. Amen.